Everyone has a story. Not every story, however, is told. Family stories, sometimes handed down through generations, sometimes buried with those who lived with them. Today's story is about a woman learning a horrifying family truth and a plea to tell the world. Through Providence, I met Lauren M. Haupt, who told a compelling story of her grandfather. After sharing the abbreviated version, I told her about 15 with the author. I invited Lauren on the show today to talk about her journey in writing the book of her family story. Welcome, Lauren.
Hi there. How are you?
I am well, thank you. It's a beautiful sunny day here, so enjoying that. This is a different kind of 15 with the author, as there is no completed book. But the story you have to tell is really compelling, and I am hopeful that this encourages others who have a story, real or imagined, to move forward and write it.
And yes, absolutely.
This is, you were visiting your grandfather. We're going to talk about the book and how you got started, and then we'll talk about the different steps you've taken so far. But you're visiting your grandfather, Opa, in Germany, something you've done many times. And as many times before, you and he are going to take a train ride to Augsburg. But this trip, this time, is different. Talk to us about that ride.
Well, this ride would be very different, and it was always important in its own way to take those rides with my grandfather. But on this one, this particular one, he would reveal to me a truth about a life experience that he had that I did not know about and am so very, very proud of, and I would like for the world to know his experience through this Holocaust time.
Now, you were born in Germany, right?
Yes.
And you came to the United States, and then you go back and visit your grandparents.
Yes, that is correct. And on the train ride into Augsburg, this is when we're talking about the story. This goes through the early times of Hitler and the Nazi regime, and how he opposed it, how he survived it through friendship and brotherhood, and how he survived the Dachau concentration camp in 1933. He was one of the first political prisoners.
It's an incredible story, and I remember sitting there and you telling us, my husband and I, really just over an hour of conversation, the story, and both of us, my husband and I, just sat there in rapt attention as to the story of your grandfather. How old were you when you heard this story?
Well, I was about 18 years old, right after graduation, and I went for the visit, and so unexpectedly, during the period of my childhood, we come from a large family, and there was a lot of little different things, heroic events, scary things, all kinds of different stories concerning the war and the experiences that my family had. But when I heard this one, this was nothing that was talked about. This was something I did not know about, and it's just amazing. It's amazing how he survived and what he did, how many lives he saved. He saved many, many lives, regardless of what he had already been through. He fearlessly went forward and fought for the righteousness of people.
And he, your family, you're not Jewish.
No. And he was a Frenchman.
And so he didn't have to do that. If, you know, he as you had mentioned, was a political prisoner because he knew how wrong it was.
That is correct. And he risked his life for the freedom of the goodness of humanity. He saved many people's lives. He knew that he would be taking away from his own family in this endeavor, but, you know, there was just his family was the biggest part of the risk to save them and to save his countrymen. And he did everything that he could, and he was a hero. He was truly a hero.
And, you know, what, you know, you think back on that and think what that must have been like for you as an 18-year-old to be told this story. And your grandfather wants you to write. He wants you to tell the story. What has that been like for you to carry this and now get to the point where you're on the verge of telling the world?
Well, it's been a very emotional experience, especially as I go through the history and the facts of his experiences. To know that somebody that you love dearly could endure this torture and the suffering and just the sadism that he went through and still continue to fight for what's right, it overwhelms me with pride of knowing that he was that kind of an honorable man and just saved so many people's lives, including while he was in the concentration camp.
Yeah, it is an amazing story. And when we met, you were naming your novel Providence. When you sent me a draft, the name is now The Red Badge. Why did you choose that title?
Well, I originally did have Providence because I just felt like this is just a totally spiritual event on how he was able to survive this experience. It is truly a miracle ending, and I changed it to The Red Badge because he was a political prisoner, and I wanted his experience as a political prisoner to be up front and foremost, because that's the badge that he wore during this time.
How long did it take you to write out that first draft?
About 10 years.
Okay. And did you think that you were done when you wrote that?
In a way, yes, I did. But I'm still in the editing process. I'm almost complete. I am searching to market my manuscript with a literary agent or a publisher that might be interested in my story. But it's not published yet.
Mm-hmm. And
when I sent you the draft, you know, I know that you have a heart for this kind of thing, and you have a good heart. And when we met, and I met with you and your husband, I could tell that you were both very passionate about righteousness and good things, and your interest in my story was... It was very nice to see, because I would like the world and for you to give me this opportunity to come forth with this and hopefully find somebody that can help me get this out to the world. I'm very grateful, and that is truly Providence.
Well, Lauren, thank you. We are speaking with Lauren M. Haupt. She is the author of The Red Badge. And as we had talked about at the start of the show, this is a different 15 with the author. I always have completed novels and talk with a lot of different authors. But as Lauren had said, her story is one, and her family story is one that is really compelling and should be told. These are the stories of good people doing amazing things. And I have just interviewed a man called Brad Meltzer, and I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he writes books about historic figures and how ordinary people change the world. And I just recently interviewed him about his book, I Am Harriet Tubman. And there's a lot of your story, your family story, that is like that. It is that ordinary people can be extraordinary and offer the world these amazing insights to what we are truly capable of, humans are capable of. And I think in this time, it seems as though we see a lot of people that like reality TV shows that are fake. And something like this is gripping. And I do want to let folks know that, no, I don't normally do this. But because Lauren's story is so important and because she has such a passion for this, I want to see this book written as well. How have you, you know, we had talked before about some writers groups and maybe some classes and things like that. And how have you now started approaching that editing phase? What have you been doing?
Well, I've been actually taking advantage of your great advice there, Terry. And I'm doing very well with that, learning a lot so that I can do this myself. And I've learned quite a bit. And from the rough draft that I sent you, which is, I still want you to keep for as a memorabilia.
No, I will.
But it's come a long ways. It's very good. It's really putting the story out there like it needs to be read.
And I think it's important when people write their stories, there's a little bit of a piece that maybe has to stand apart from the emotional part of it, and to make sure that the entire story is told without putting too much of yourself. There's a little bit of hold back that I think you might have to do, because the tendency is to over-dramatize, and the story doesn't need it. So the story has lots of drama. It's plenty of it. So it's that careful balance of how to write the story so that for other readers. And it's, you know, it takes people, I've talked with authors that they've had 20 rejections on one story. And then suddenly they get the one, you know, and that's why it's, you keep pushing. And you've been at this, like you said, what, 10 years for the first draft?
Yes. And you know, and that is one of the things that is part of the process that is being corrected. It is easy to over-dramatize and really get involved. But a story like this, as I've just learned here recently, it is definitely not necessary. This is a story that tells itself. And I just, you know, I want it to be a good read so that more people, you know, will be able to read it and be interested and read it like it should be read.
Yeah. And I truly believe they will, Lauren. I think that you've got the chops to do it. I think that part of that is when we were sitting in there listening to you, your storytelling is amazing. It's when you put the pen to the paper that things can sometimes change. So having that, allowing yourself the time to, okay, let's put this out there and then do some editing. Have someone else look at it, and someone that will help you understand that the story is definitely needs to be told, and without a judgment about the story itself, but more about the particular writing, so that they can guide you to help you pull that out, that piece that you don't have to do certain things to make it, to have people want to read it.
Right. Well, and that's part of what I've been doing. I have a couple of folks that are working on the editing with me, because I mean, I am marketing my manuscript, but I would not present it without it being in a better reading form.
Yeah. And I think that's what that was. I was talking to another woman that is on air with us. Her name is Paula Grandquist. She has a show called Art Zany, and she's also very involved in the literary movement. Incredible. She does her own writing as well. And she had said that you don't want to put out something, the first draft to somebody, to an agent necessarily, because they get a lot of them, and right. You want to make sure that you've polished it as much as you can. And then there's always editing after that as well, generally speaking,
right.
But
right.
At least you
right.
get it to that point where they go, oh yeah, this has really got some stuff to it. And that's
because I don't want it to end up on a heap pile, you know?
Nope. No, it's much too important of a story. And I think,
exactly.
And finding the right agent and the right publisher, there are various publishers, and it depends on the type of story that you're writing, who would be the best fit for it. In particular, I'm not really sure off the top of my head who would work best with you, but I think that's something that people, that's another aspect that people, as they write stories, would really want to consider. Now, have you thought about doing self-publishing?
Yes, I have thought of that. The only problem that I have with that would be the marketing aspect. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason that I was thinking of a literary agent or a publisher, because I don't have the experience on the marketing, and I definitely feel like with the passion that I have for this to be told, this story, I just want to get out there in the best possible way that I can possibly get this story and this book out there to the public.
Yeah. Yeah. And what will that, I can ask, what will that mean to you? But it's like, I don't even know if you could describe what that would mean to you.
No, I can't describe it, because you can't put a word on something of this importance, of this part of my heart. I can't find a word. I mean, in the thousands and thousands of words that are out there, there is no word for the importance of this, and also my gratitude to you, Terry, for giving me this opportunity.
Well, Lauren, I couldn't help it. The way you presented it and the way you talked to us, I had to share with you about 15 with the author and the possibilities that certainly exist for your story to be told. And I think that I want to thank you really for your time and for your passion to tell the story, to let people know what happened to your grandfather, what he did. An amazing man, and it is something that I think more and more people really need to hear these stories, and that's why I brought up Brad Meltzer's series of ordinary people, because that's what it's about.
Yes, it is. And, you know, not only is it the story about him, but of the way of the faith part of it, where the just pure miracle of how he actually survived the concentration camp and how he was able to get out and be able to go forward and save all these lives and everything. I mean, the story is about him, but it's also about the pure faith and guidance and brotherhood and love, a friendship that you just can't replace.
Yeah, exactly. Lauren, how long has your grandfather been gone now?
He died in 1973.
Mm-hmm. And he's looking down on you, guiding you all the way right now.
Thank you. I like to believe that as well. And, you know, I also have to give thanks to my my aunt, Elizabeth, helped. She's the one that actually originally, you know, she's the eldest child, and she's really the one that pushed me into writing this story. It was very important to her as well, so I would like to give a Just a little dedication to her. She's not here with us anymore, but I would just like to say that.
And you are going to read an introduction. Were you not?
Okay.
I think. Can we talk about that?
Yes.
Yes.
Would you like to
do that? All right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
1972. It's been 2 years since I have last seen my Oma and Opa when I arrived to Bavaria after my high school graduation. I'm filled with both happiness and excitement when I get into the taxi that will take me to their house. I am reminded of fond childhood memories as we head down the country road. A passing train blows its whistle on the track running next to the road, taking me back to the train rides I used to go on with my Opa when I was a little girl. I find myself daydreaming of eating ice cream while Opa listening to Opa and him telling me his favorite stories. I'm welcomed by Oma's warm, loving eyes and Opa's toothless smile, bursting with excitement and anticipation as I step out of the taxi. It's as though I had never left them. My Opa and I would be taking our special ride to Augsburg tomorrow, and I just couldn't wait. Our day trip was always important in its own way, but this visit to Augsburg would end up being like no other, and his story would never, ever be able to leave and be branded into my spirit and heart forever. Mm. I hear of an unthinkable experience, an emotional journey that was not expected, and one I will never forget. This would be a story like no other. My Opa, Simon Johann Haupt, was an ordinary man with a life that is extraordinary. It's a war story more intriguing than any that I have ever heard or could possibly, conceivably imagine. A real human endeavor was revealed to me tomorrow by my Opa, a man I have loved and admired my entire life. This is a story about a remarkable man who was committed to his family and friends, a man who loved his homeland. He was a man that fought for the liberty of his country and countrymen, enduring great suffering and moral tribulations in order to survive in an era of tyranny and hopelessness. He suffered great hardships to make a selfless sacrifice, fighting against the relentless and brutal forces of the Nazi regime. He bore arms against evil in its most transparent form, never losing faith or hope, nor surrendering. In a time when souls were lost to devastation and destruction, he would be their champion and stand fearless in his conviction and moral creed. He was a warrior in a continuing pursuit of human righteousness. Surviving torture, starvation, and relentless persecution through virtue and an unbreakable bond of brotherhood, he became a hero that continued to fight despite risking his life and freedom for the goodness of humanity. The year is 1933. It is the time of the Holocaust. Simon Johann Haupt is a political prisoner at Dachau concentration camp in Bavaria, Germany.
The story is definitely going to be told. Lauren, I want to thank you so much for your time. The book, The Red Badge, will be coming out, and we'll certainly, I will keep folks updated on 15 with the author as to how you're doing. And I just wish you the best. Is there anything else that you would like to share?
Well, if anybody's interested, if there's a literary agent or a publisher or anybody at all interested, they can send me a note to my email that I've set up for this. It's theredbadge17@gmail.com.
All right. And I will have all that information on our website, kymnradio.net. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you. And thank everybody for listening, and I appreciate it. And have a great day, Terry.
All right. You too.